The chair would like to address Mr. Bangas, a question from the audience. To what degree is the Intifada influenced by Islamic belief? And is there any relation between the Islamic revolution that occurred in Iran and the Intifada?
I think this question affords me an opportunity to come to an earlier comment that was made about Islamic fundamentalism. That is another of the bookends that has been raised in order to confuse the issue. As far as the Muslims are concerned, and I'm sure people of other faiths and other beliefs would have their reasons to believe in what they wish to believe in, but as far as Muslims are concerned, they do not believe that their religion and politics are separate. In fact, their very reason for existence is to live according to the commandments of God, and that their entire life, not just their secluded religious, quote-unquote religious life, be guided by religious principles. So in that sense, if there are Muslims in the world, whether they happen to be in Palestine, in Iran, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, Malaysia, Indonesia, or anywhere in the world, if they wish to order their lives according to their belief system, then that is their choice. It cannot be imposed upon them that, well, now we are living in a world where the secular view is predominant and therefore your religious values have no place over here. I believe, as a Muslim, that our values are very noble, that if we order our lives according to our values and our beliefs and our principles, that it would afford equal opportunity to all. And therefore, if Muslims in Iran or Muslims in Palestine or in Afghanistan wish to do that, then this should not be something that is created as a monster or something that has to be put down or crushed because somehow it poses a real or imaginary threat to somebody else's belief. With respect to the specific question of whether the Intifada in Palestine has been inspired by the Islamic Revolution in Iran, I would say that I'm sure that it has been. There have been other Muslims in other parts of the world that have been inspired by unarmed resistance of the type that the Iranians showed throughout the year of 1978 when they protested against the Shah's regime and ultimately forced the Shah to flee the country and overthrew the tyranny that had been imposed upon them for 25 years. It was a very great example for the Muslims to see that even if they do not have weapons, even if they do not have arms, that they can resist tyranny. And this is precisely what the Muslims in Palestine are also doing, resisting tyranny, resisting oppression. Now, whether that is directly or indirectly influenced by the example in Iran, I think is not so crucial, but obviously the impact of the Islamic Revolution in Iran and of course also the resistance of the Afghans to Soviet occupation was or were examples that had their repercussions on Muslims in other parts of the world and particularly in Palestine.
Well, thank you. This one is it's not addressed to anyone, but I'm going to address it to Father Jenko. I dream of the day when there will be peace between Israel and the Arabs. Jewish children sing songs of love and peace, yet Arab children are taught songs about the bus to Tel Aviv that was pushed off the ravine and Israelis were killed. What concerns me is if hatred is taught to future Arab generations, how can peace be promoted and attained?
Well, so often what I find that we do, we kind of point out there and we blame people out there, and I think we have to kind of not point the finger at anybody but look into our own hearts to see what's happening. And when you look into your own hearts, I begin to sense, at least I do, I have to look at my own sinfulness and what are my bigotries and what are my prejudices and what are my hates, and then I ask for a lovely gift of a metanoia, a change of heart, and that's what I try to do. So when you mention about Israeli children in Palestinian children singing songs. I don't know if that's true or not. All I know is that one night I was celebrating midnight mass in East Beirut, and at the kiss of peace I said, Shalom, peace be with you. And it's the birthday of the servant of peace, Jesus. At the end of the mass, a woman came up to me and she said, we're American. Do you get the right to use a Jewish word in my home? I was stunned by that. And that here I am celebrating the birth of Jesus. And I'm sure he would have said, Shalom. And I was sitting on the floor there, and there were little children sitting around. And I was wondering, did we pass on that hate, that bigotry? Were recent events as recent as Cain killing Abel? And so I asked children, I said, what's your world all about? And these little ones, they start speaking to me about this world of peace. It was so marvelous. I said, oh, we didn't pass the sin on. There were adults listening. The old people said, Father, would you hear our confession? And there was that middle age group that just didn't hear. And I was saying to them, do you ever listen to children? And I think sometimes in our own lives we have to, as we look on children, when I speak about tuning your instruments of warriors into plowshares, and I get people who still want to promote, you know, the sale of arms throughout the world, I wish those arms dealers would hear what I heard constantly. After the violence was done, and I was near the Shavra Shitila camps, and the violence was done by Muslims doing the violence to Muslims, when there is total quiet, when the violence is all over, the first sound you hear is the cry of a child. I wish that all of us would listen to the cry of children today. That's what I was saying. We have to have a new vision. Look at the past. I live in the present. But I want to make sure the future is going to be different.
I think this is a wonderful way to end our public discussion. Many of you may be frustrated that you didn't get your questions asked. If you could see the piles of cards that are before me, you would understand the perplexity that I face. On behalf of the International Student Council and the many sponsoring organizations, I would certainly like to thank the four distinguished panelists for all that they've shared with us this evening, and our audience for being so patient and asking so many wonderful questions.
Thank you very much.